Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Today we have another great show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. And speaking specifically about spiritual, today's show is on spiritual teachers. Now, some of you have heard some of my other shows on other stations, and you know that I've covered this subject a couple of times. But I guarantee if you've heard those shows, today will be additive and with some other ideas and thoughts about the subject. So please hang in there, and if you'd like to participate, give us a call at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. If you're in Canada, how about 888-815-9756? Okay, so let me tell you, you know, I always love to talk about defining things and explaining before we start what I mean by whatever words we're using for this, today's topic. And when I talk about spiritual, I'm talking about things in the universe that follow the thought of the Creator or God. That's spiritual. If it doesn't follow God's thought, it might be someone else's thought, and of course, that thought is fine. I mean, it's not like, oh, gee, you're terrible because you're not thinking spiritually. But it doesn't have a connection, a component of co-service with the Creator. That's all I mean. It doesn't mean you're bad. And there are many kinds of teaching that are not spiritual. They, as a matter of fact, are predominant within our country and within many others. And for the most part, people who are teachers would not usually include the word spiritual in their description of what they do. But there's another side to this, and I think it's important to realize, and that is that there are some people that consider themselves spiritual teachers who aren't necessarily doing that either. And the reason is because in order to be a spiritual teacher, the thought that one is conveying can't be a replica of some other teacher's thought and can't be a replica of even what someone believes the Creator's thought is. It has to be a co-creation with that being or beings that someone believes they are spiritually representing. And this is a little complicated because most people think, well, what about when I go to church and someone's teaching there and that sort of thing? Well, you know, a lot of times when you go to church, people are spiritually teaching because they are co-creating. Their thought is adding to the thought of the Creator that they are trying to connect with, to God, their representation of it or whatever they consider to be God. And I think that it's important to understand that because there's so much confusion about this subject. But what about someone, let's say you went to a church and or a synagogue or, you know, a place of worship, and you found people who were literally just reiterating something someone else had said, even if they thought that was coming from directly from God or some messenger from God, some prophet from God, maybe their teacher, maybe, you know, just some other minister might have said it. What about in those situations, if that is all they are doing, or mostly what they're doing, that is not really spiritual teaching by my definition. Uh-oh, am I going to get in trouble for that? Maybe. You can call in and disagree with me about this, actually, because it's okay. I don't mind that at all, really. You see, what I'm suggesting here is that spiritual means more than just saying or repeating something someone hears that they think is spiritual. Spiritual means creative and co-creating, not with other people, but with a higher being. Okay? Hey, I love these definitions. They always thrill me because, in a way, you know, a lot of you may not know this, I do not do these shows from any script. I don't. They're not written out because, you know what? I'm trying. I may not be successful to do a little spiritual teaching myself here. And so, basically, this isn't a scripted program. A lot of people think otherwise. They say, oh, come on, you've got some kind of notes there. What about that outline? No, I don't have anything like that, honestly. If you saw me doing this, you would then believe it. But I realize for many of you, you haven't seen that. on a prior program I had, there was a camera, and people could see that. Okay, so moving ahead then. Okay, spiritual teachers have to be creative, and they have to be creative in the spiritual thought that they are co-creating with, co-serving with, you see. That's a very important element. What else is there to being a spiritual teacher then? I mean, that alone kind of confines it to a more narrow spectrum than what a lot of people might say. But there's more to it than that, because in order to be spiritual, one must be adding to the existing level of overall spiritual thought. Now, there are two different categories of this addition. I don't want to confuse you on this, but I'm trying to define it as clearly as I can. There are two different categories of how one can add. And here's how it works. Let's say that I wanted to add to the spiritual thought of some people that I've read about who are co-creating with a creator that I identify as being God. And I want to make a representation from those that have created before me, something that helps others to have greater understanding, both of what my predecessors had said and what I'm adding to. Well, that's great, and that's a fantastic way to be a spiritual teacher. And in some circles, in some spiritual terms, that is called a little teacher. Now, this has nothing to do with the size of the teacher. You know, you could be tall and be a little teacher. You could be a little miniature person and be a little teacher. It doesn't really matter. This has to do with really the size of the concepts, the conceptual way that it's framed, and the newness, uniqueness of the thought itself. Let me give you an example. Let's say that I was going to try and add some a better understanding to some elements of Buddhic thinking, okay? Well, a lot of people have written tremendous amounts about Buddhic thought. There's Thurman, for those people who are familiar with him, and there's others. He was on my show once. There's these people who have really done fantastic writing, excellent stuff. There is Buddha's own statements from 600 B.C. that have been reverently written down and explained over the time. So, I mean, it's a tremendous amount of information about the Eightfold Path and about maintaining a central position between different sides of paradoxical thinkings and all kinds of stuff like that. It's great, fantastic stuff. And let's say I went into some elements of that and tried to explain further so people could better understand these prior thoughts and maybe even add a little bit, in some ways, to them to help people to understand the overall concepts that I didn't necessarily create myself, but nonetheless, are tremendously big and great thinking. That's a little teacher, because most of what I'm doing is recreation and, we'll say, clarification. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a great service to teach in this way. Most spiritual teachers do so. In other words, this is the way, if you were to look out there, a huge, vast majority, virtually almost all spiritual teachers teach in this way, because that's the way that is most, we'll say, abundantly clear and relatively easier to do. But there is something called a big teacher. I'm going to explain the difference between these two in a more personal sense as well, more direct sense to the individual. But first I'm going into the concepts about them. The big teacher is someone who is able to create concepts that are new. We're not talking about like, oh, well, I'll add something to Buddha's thought. We're talking about, well, here's something that Buddha never said. Here's something that Buddha never really got into. But it really gets us a lot closer to our creator, and it builds upon in the thought of that creator and those who can understand it. Plus, it not only does it in one way, but it usually, with big teachers, it does it in so many multiple ways that many more people can understand it, because it's presented in numerous ways. Each concept is presented in a lot of different ways that are unique and new. And so the big teacher is adding something like it's brand new. It's just like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, it's like some people talk about Einstein came up with the theory, two different theories of relativity. Well, they kind of like almost hatched out of nowhere. Many people say, well, how did he come to that? Because he created it. Yes, did he draw upon some knowledge from a few predecessors and other things? Yeah, but really the fact is he made like a complete leap into something new. Well, that's in the field of science, and that has to do more with knowledge. But this is the same kind of idea, but now it applies to understanding the creator and co-creating with that creator in a new way. And that's what big teachers do. Now, there's very few of these big teachers running around because I'm going to explain to you what it takes to be each one of these kinds of teachers. And you'll forgive me if it sounds like I'm being judgmental or something. I'm not. I love all spiritual teachers. I'm just giving you information at this point so that when we could continue with the show and get into a little deeper understandings of these things, it's clear where I'm coming from, at least. And you can, of course, disagree with it. Okay, so here we go. The little teacher basically has these qualities inside of themselves that they have created. And this makes them capable of teaching at the level that I just described. The first is that they are more of a person, like human being, people, you know, us, you know, more like that than they are a living soul here or wherever they're teaching from, if it's a different dimension than here. They're still functioning more separate from their soul than as part of their soul. You might say, well, how do you know that? Well, I'll give you some ways that are definable. In a definitive way, the information that they're using is coming from senses. Some people will call them chakras or centers, because that's where the senses are developed, that are less than unified than they are unified. So in other words, the senses collectively, and there are seven in a human being, the two most important, if you're a spiritual teacher, are the heart and crown chakras or centers. Those centers, though, are less unified than they are not in a little teacher. You say, whoa, that sounds like you can really figure that thing out. Yes, you can. That's what's so wonderful about it, is you can actually figure this thing out for yourself and for others. The others is very important because in this next segment, I'm going to talk about how you find a teacher, how you know what a teacher is like, all kinds of things that people have asked me over time, and I think it's important that we have these definitions explained so that they can be useful. Some people, like me, coming from a psychological background, might call it operant. Oh, I like that word. Yeah, that means that you can use it. You can apply it. I like that. Okay, so then if that's true, and it's in the body that you're using the most to get the information from what you're teaching that counts. So let's say in my physical body, I'm less than half unified in my senses, then can I become a big teacher from the physical body when I'm using information that is mostly of physical type and material, the only material form in this world? Then in that particular case, the answer would be no, I couldn't. Because I don't have my senses unified enough in that particular body to be able to do it. And once you get past the 50% point, at or past, then you can become a big teacher in that body. You see how it works? Let's say I got it in one body, but I don't have it in another. Well, then maybe in issues dealing with our astral nature and feelings, I could teach me if I had unified senses there. And let's say I wasn't unified in my mental body in some way, then I couldn't teach about things that dealt with high concepts, etc. You see, it's so interesting that you have to have all of these things together, and being a big teacher doesn't mean you're a big teacher all the time, because it depends which bodies from which you are unified in which to become a big teacher. Now, I'm going to tell you that most big teachers fairly quickly actually unify enough of their bodies so they can actually function from all three, and there's even a fourth one, which we'll get into. But I'm going to say all three. I'm talking about the physical. I'm talking about the emotional or feeling side of us. Astral, I like that word, or the mental or manasic side. The manasic side includes concepts and it deals with full aspects of time. So that all three parts of time, past, present, and future, are represented in whatever concept is explained. It's so interesting. And it's all about these centers being unified. If you don't have the centers unified to at least 50%, the best you can do, which is fine, is to be a little teacher, which is okay. Because there's lots of need for little teachers, believe me. But even more so, there's the few who can be big teachers, and that's a great thing. Oh, big teacher. Because they are able, once you reach beyond the 50% level, a magical thing happens. And I'm going to tell you that magical thing, and then we're going to have to go to break. The magical thing that happens is that you become so creative that you can start building new concepts, adding new concepts to the universe of knowledge within the planet that you exist on, and you become like a beautiful wellfront of new things, new concepts, new ways of representing and explaining and co-creating with God. Isn't that fantastic? Well, we'll be back in about 2.5 or a little bit more than that. Minutes, and when we come back, I'll explain so much more about what I think is a fascinating subject.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
Well, we're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And, we're going to continue on, of course, with this subject because I think it's really fascinating on what is a spiritual teacher and how do you know about one and then how can you best gain from the interaction with a spiritual teacher. Now, some people have asked me, and I got I'm a little bit candid and I'm also a little bit, we'll say, esoteric or hidden about what I say about this, but people have asked me, well, do you have a teacher? And the answer is absolutely, I do have a teacher, but my teacher is unknown, to remain unknown. So I can't give you it's a male. I can't give you his address or telephone number. But nonetheless, I do have a teacher and someone that so far been a long time. Let's see, it's been since it's been 10 about 18 years now. In 18 years, haven't had a bad experience or an expression of something that did not turn out to be helpful and accurate in his teaching. So that's really helpful to know that. And so there are teachers out there that can be like that. One should not expect a teacher to be perfect, because perfection means that that person is no longer creating something new in a weird way. This is going to be surprising. Someone who is perfect couldn't create something beyond that level because they're perfect. Interestingly, God was in that position and decided to create life, us, so that it could grow more because we are not perfect. Isn't that interesting? And we can create things that are unique and different, but sometimes mistaken and have some issues. Okay, so we shouldn't expect perfection out of even big teachers, although they are, we'll say, in illusion or mistaken, far less often than little teachers are. That's not to in any way disparage the little teacher. It only is a statement of fact, not one of, again, saying this is good or bad. Okay, now, what are some of the other qualities that we can use besides this business with the chakras, which is very interesting. Believe me, it's fascinating, especially if you can see how people are using their senses. It really helps you a tremendous amount, and we'll get into that. But what other things besides the chakras help us to determine the level of a teacher? Well, part of it has to do with a thing that I call consciousness. And what is consciousness? Well, it's really like understanding. It's how much a person is able to take the knowledge that they possess and apply it to new and greater wholes, greater amounts of other elements that they don't have necessarily original understanding about, but they're able to create it by what they understanding they had before. Consciousness is like a dynamic state of growth of understanding. It isn't a static state. So when one says, I have this level of consciousness, period, that really it couldn't be a true statement. One could have consciousness that is in a dynamic state of growth. And that dynamic state of growth may establish a certain percentage or a lack of percentage of consciousness, but it isn't static and it doesn't stay there. So consciousness is constantly moving around. For people that are of relatively high consciousness, it's usually moving in the positive or increasing direction of understanding from the knowledge that they have. Consciousness is not knowledge. Knowledge is the ability to synthesize information into a greater whole. That's a good thing. In other words, I have a certain amount of information and sort of like put it together and be able to say, this is what I understand from that level of information. Consciousness goes beyond knowledge. It's sort of like the next step, and it takes the knowledge and takes it into a greater whole of understanding things that are outside of what was the original information in the first place. With people who are conscious, they can guesstimate information they don't even have and be very accurate, not perfect, about what's likely to be discovered next in their information. That's a really amazing thing to have. And not surprising, little spiritual teachers generally have consciousness in each of the three bodies that I mentioned, which was the etheric physical, the astral, and the mental, somewhere below about half of what they could possibly achieve. Most of the time, it's probably down to a quarter or less, but it's still a good amount. Believe it or not, 25% level of consciousness, meaning that 25% of the knowledge that they have, they are using to expand their understanding of their universe, is a fantastic thing. It really is. Believe it or not, most people are down below 2 or 1%. Yeah, I know that sounds terrible. Okay, I'm not condemning my fellow man, but it's the truth. And you don't want to hear me making up stuff just so I sound politically correct, right? Maybe some people do, I don't know. But I won't do that. And most people are somewhere around 1, 1.5, maybe 1/4, 3/4, depends who we're dealing with. So most of the time, they're not taking the knowledge they have and applying it to greater understanding around them. Now, there's a secret to being able to do this, to being able to make your consciousness grow, and that is by focusing out on others and giving to them. Giving to them, which includes teaching, by the way, and especially spiritual teaching. So being a spiritual teacher helps you to raise your consciousness because you're giving to people. Isn't that wonderful? Now, here's a little secret that you may not know, and that is that little teachers generally give to others most of the time as persons, as people. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with giving to someone as a person. But when you give to someone as a person, you're helping them to gain something that is of value to themselves. Whereas big teachers tend, and almost most of the time do so, give to others as souls. And when you do that, you're not helping others to gain something for themselves. You're helping others to create more with their creator so all others gain something as much as possible through becoming closer to their creator as well. That's a big jump. It's really a big jump between these two positions of thought. One is functioning mostly as a person, and the other is functioning mostly as a soul. And that's really the definable difference between these two categories of teachers. And again, we're talking about spiritual teachers. They're not mundane teachers. Mundane teachers mostly teach knowledge, but they don't teach very much consciousness. And that's the big difference between mundane teachers and non-mundane teachers. Some mundane teachers do teach some levels of consciousness, but then again, the question is it personal or not, and whether it is about the creator that they're trying to help people to understand or not. And that's very intricate, and there are so many different layers and levels to it that there are many different kinds of mundane teachers with some mixture or some spirituality to their teaching. I can tell you this, in my experience, as I look back in my life, and you can think about this as well, the teachers that were mundane teachers to me, that were the greatest ones, without them knowing so, in many cases, were truly also spiritual teachers. Yeah, they were trying to help people to gain some understanding. There really was a spiritual level of understanding that was helping them to connect to their own creator and be co-creative. They didn't realize it necessarily, but they did some of that. So those are the best mundane teachers that I had. Now, if we talk about the best spiritual teachers, the best spiritual teacher I've ever had is the one I still have, who helps almost exclusively and sometimes frighteningly, I'll explain that in a minute, for his students to understand their creator and co-creator and how they are responsible to teach others at this level and to not really reinforce the elements of personal teaching, even personal spiritual teaching. And because of that, sometimes there could be even some unusual response in which it may seem like a good thing that a person was, say, sentimental and was very concerned about this element or that element of someone they were teaching or some group of people they were teaching, but yet they were making a great mistake because ultimately, even though it doesn't seem right, it may be better to allow those people to fail or not to achieve what they're looking for in a personal sense, so they can find the more spiritual side of co-creating with their creator and helping others to do the same, to live as souls, in other words. But sometimes it's a bitter pill to teach in that way and to learn how to teach in that way. It's a difficulty. So that's the tougher side of being a spiritual teacher, is trying to learn how to do that. I hope this is all making sense. I'm covering a subject that is vast, again, in a very short time. Trying to not go as fast as I did the last couple of weeks. I heard back, and I heard that some people thought it was a little bit fast for the last couple of weeks' shows. They said, well, that's a vast subject. Could you maybe double the time you take to explain it? And I could, but that, again, I'd be taking a lot of showtime to cover a subject that some people may not find as interesting. And so I want to be fair to everybody and cover subjects within a timely fashion. So if someone has a greater interest, say, in spiritual teachers, like in today's show, we cover it in a reasonable amount of time and don't spend an excessive amount of time on that one subject because people get tired of it, you know? So, and after all, if this was a different medium in which there was a whole class of people that I was interacting with at one time, then it might be a little more tailored to the needs of that specific group. But every week there's somebody else tuning in, I hope. Hope more and more of you are tuning in. I hope you're finding this stuff to be helpful and interesting. Okay, so let's move on. What then is the way in which if someone wants to get and find and find it helpful to have a spiritual teacher, what are the criteria that you want to use? Well, the first thing, if we go back to the beginning of today's show, is to determine the level that you, each of us, are sensing. Because we don't want a spiritual teacher who senses at or below our level of sensing. That wouldn't work because that teacher can't really help us much, and in reality, we then would be their teacher if that were true. So if you're looking for a spiritual teacher, you need to examine to what level is it that their chakras in each of their bodies unified. And there's a fourth body called the buddhic body or intuitional body, which is very important in either a big teacher or a little teacher. And the level to which this body is unified can really be determined by how much and in what ways someone can be fully focused out and totally creative in their thinking at the same time. Now, that's a little bit of advanced thought, and I'll maybe cover it in the next section. I'm bringing it in here now, because if one were to try to determine who is the best teacher for us, that would be a superlative way of doing it. But to get there, you need to start with, well, what level of sense are we sensing ourselves? Now, you can determine this by looking at how much are you, in general, able to unify the information that is coming in through your senses and use it instantly within no literal time being used up to create both knowledge and understanding. When you can do that, in other words, this virtually instantaneous ability, then you know you have a unified moment or time in which you are able to create information, knowledge, and consciousness together. And you can think of information as being like the past part of time. You can think of knowledge as being the present. You can think of consciousness as being the future. That I found to be, it's not exactly true, but it's very interesting because it gives you some understanding of what's going on in your senses and how you're able to assimilate and use information. And that's a good thing. It really does help out. Now, if you find, let's say, that 10% of the time you're able to do that with your physical senses, and maybe 5% of the time you can do it with your astral senses, knowing how you feel and other people feel, developing empathy and even super empathy towards other people, and then maybe 3 or 2% of the time you can do it to create whole truths that apply universally to new concepts. That's a fantastic thing. And if you can figure, let's say you've come up to those numbers and you say, okay, so this is where I'm operating from. I would need a spiritual teacher. This is my suggestion. I suggest you try to find someone about twice or more greater than the amount that I, whatever number. A spiritual teacher for you. Isn't that fascinating? So I'm trying to quantify this, and a lot of people are going to say, oh, but what about the magic and all this? Well, okay, if you can magically understand who your spiritual teacher is, it's great. But if you need something that's a little more definitive and easier to follow, I think, That's what I'm trying to do. Give people something that really, you know, you can say, oh, I can write it down, I can keep track of it. First, you have to know yourself before you will be able to find your teacher. Now, you may have read that, but hopefully you can start understanding why that's the case by what I just explained. I'm going to, I'll explain a lot more about this when we come back and how we can make it operate for ourselves and how it can be of great benefit. So it'll be about another 2.5 to 3 minutes, and we will be back.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
I'm your host, Niles McFlower. A couple people just emailed or called in and said something about there was a few seconds there where I was explaining how to find your spiritual teacher, and somehow, at least on their internet connection, it didn't come through. So let me just repeat it. It's okay. I'll just repeat those 10 seconds or whatever it will be. And the main thing is that that person needs to have twice as much consciousness as you do. That's what you expect at a minimum. Now, that's not like, gee, I got to find someone with exactly twice as much. No, if they're 3 times, it's fine. If they're 10 times, it's okay. But the point is that you want someone at no less than twice as much. And in order to contribute to that process, it's best to know oneself, know how much one has in terms of their use of their own senses, how much information do you take, and convert it into knowledge, and then that knowledge is understood enough to be able to apply to new areas. Then, once you know that you're doing that level, then you can determine to what level you're looking for, at a minimum, in a teacher. That was the idea of that. I wanted to bring up an interesting subject, which is a bit off from what we're talking about, right? We have been talking about in the show. However, I think it's important. I'm associated with a spiritual group that is producing a product called Virupel, V-I-R-U-P-E-L, and it helps to it helps treat and cure colds and flu. And it was designed to be effective against an avian flu, which didn't even exist and may not, but it probably does at this point, exist in a human-to-human form, which is called avian flu, sometimes referred to as H5N1. It just has to do with the molecules that the virus is made up of. Now, the interesting thing about this is that we have done effectiveness trials, all kinds of stuff. You can go to viropel.org and learn about it. And we're going to help, likely, it's almost a done deal, that we're going to be sponsoring, be one of the sponsors for a show that's on the Science Channel. That's one of the Discovery series of channels. Many of you may, if you have cable television, be able to, and it's also available, I believe, on satellite. You can watch this particular show that we're sponsoring on pandemic flu. And it's a two-hour special. That show is going to be on a week from tomorrow, a week from this Sunday, which will be October 7th, in different time zones. And I have the time zones here. Let me check them out and tell you what they're going to be, because I don't know by heart. Okay, it looks like the Pacific time zone is going to be at 6 p.m., but it will be repeated again. Let's see. At, I think, 9 p.m. Yeah, I think so. This may not be accurate, though. It looks like, yeah, Pacific Daylight Time, 6 p.m., and then I think it's saying that it's going to be on at 9 p.m. again. So it goes from 6 to 8. That's a two-hour show. And we're going to be sponsoring this show. And then it's going to go from 9, I guess, to 11, I assume. And then it's going to be on Monday. Is that right? I don't know if we're sponsoring the Monday shows. But Monday will be at 1 a.m. Oh, that's in the I see what it is. It's in the morning. And then it's 7 a.m. So that's like if you're a late nighter, you can watch it then. Or if you're an earlier riser, you can watch it as well that way. It'll also be on, besides Pacific time, it's going to be on in throughout the entire country. And we are sponsoring the show everywhere that it's being shown in the United States. So if you're in New York, of course, it's going to be several hours later. Check your local listings, because they could be slightly different depending upon whether you're in a specific time zone and also whether you have cable or you have satellite, because there sometimes is a difference between those media as well. Also, the show in some locales is going to be in high definition. So if you have the capability of watching it in that way, that's fantastic. It will be available in some locales that have the capability of showing it in that way, in high definition on the Science HD channel, simultaneous with the time that it's on the regular Science channel. And we'll have a couple of commercials in each of the shows. They're actually, each one is a little different, and it will tell you a bit about ViroPel and the stuff we're doing. While you're watching, unfortunately, a show that is going to be about a very serious subject, and the subject, of course, is the possibility, even the probability, that there's going to be a pandemic from this terrible germ, which is developing to become human-human in its ability to infect people. Okay, so I will mention this again at the end, so that if those of you who didn't catch what I just said, you can hear it again. Okay, so let's move on. And talk about this. How do we find then a spiritual teacher who fits our needs? Because the basic definition is that someone is going to be at least twice as conscious as us, hopefully more so. But in addition, someone who meets the needs that we have in terms of the kind of teacher that we are looking for. Well, here's another thing that's very helpful, and I hope this is going to be of some assistance. While you're doing your analysis of how much information you're getting through your senses and how much of that you're converting into knowledge and how much of that knowledge you're converting into consciousness, look to see which senses you are using more unified and which ones you are not. Try to find a teacher whose point of direction or view and capability is more unified where you're not, because that teacher is going to help you deal with the areas of weakness in yourself. Also, that teacher may irritate you a little more, may cause you to become more aware of the deficiencies that you have. Now, I'm going to tell you this. A big teacher, this is usually not really that relevant to, because big teachers are so unified in their senses that unless you yourself are nearly at that stage anyway, it would make little difference. But in little teachers, this makes a considerable difference. And you may notice this. You may notice that some spiritual teachers that you come in contact with, usually who are little spiritual teachers, again, not to be derogatory towards what they do or who they are, they have special ways of presenting their concepts and explaining how you can increase your understanding. And some of them do better for you than others do. And the reason for that is what I just suggested, is that they, the ones that do the best are the ones that are strongest in the areas of our own weaknesses, and vice versa to some extent. Also, be aware that a spiritual teacher is learning themselves, is growing themselves, because remember, consciousness is this dynamic state of growth. What is not just blank consciousness and just sits there, you know, in a state of suspended animation. As one teaches, one's consciousness grows, especially as one teaches spiritually, I should say. One's consciousness grows, and as one teaches spiritually to others who are receiving that, who are doing the most in gaining some understanding, the consciousness of that teacher actually grows the fastest from that experience. Yeah, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, so that's an excellent thing to also determine what kind of teacher you might be looking for. Now, let me tell you some other elements of spiritual teachers that you may not know about. Little teachers generally are karmically connected to the level to which they help others to gain some element of consciousness. And they are connected and either gain or not gain in their own consciousness from that issue. But big teachers, it goes even deeper than that. Big teachers usually have to first save the senses. In other words, the very basis of what we've been talking about, which is the information that's coming in before you can create consciousness, the big teachers oftentimes are helping to save the senses of those who they are teaching, besides helping to raise the levels of knowledge and consciousness in them. Being a savior, now this sounds a little biblical in a sense, but being a savior in this way is much more difficult than just teaching. So the big teacher oftentimes is, unfortunately, connected to their students in ways in which not only does their consciousness raise as their students' consciousness raises, but their senses themselves are connected to their students' sense. And if they're successful in helping to save the senses of their students, which is a great thing, for service to others, that's a fantastic thing, then their senses grow, and it becomes a sort of almost a unified issue between their senses and their student senses. But if they are not as successful at saving their students, their senses decline. Now, that sounds strange, right? You wouldn't think that happens because it doesn't sound fair, right? Well, it is fair, but it's more on a cosmic scale fair. It isn't like a personal scale of fairness. And in those cases, if the students don't do very well in using their senses, it causes damage to the bodies and senses of the teacher. This is for big teachers now. Little teachers are not included in this issue, usually. It's almost exclusively something that happens to big teachers because they are so involved with saving these senses before they are involved in helping their students to create more knowledge and consciousness from them. It's a big deal. Now, remember, I'm going to go back over this, that the big teacher is helping the student to develop not just more consciousness, but more consciousness that is going to be soul consciousness, or consciousness that is not to just help them to understand, but help them to help still others to understand, sort of like the pay it forward thing. And it's so wonderful. It's a beautiful concept, but it's a lot more difficult to do, and there are a lot more implications and responsibility that come into play on a big teacher that do not apply to the little teacher. Big teachers sometimes can be killed. No, this sounds terrible, but there's a truth to it. They can be killed by their own students. Because if their own students are destroying their bodies and their senses, it goes back to their teacher. And the teacher can actually pay a pretty severe penalty if it happens enough and often from their students. Now, one student alone probably isn't going to cause it, but if you get a whole bunch of them together and they're all acting in ways that are irresponsible, that teacher's life may be in jeopardy. It can actually happen. So one should not think that big teachers in some way are given a license to become like immortal or something and don't have to be concerned about the consequences of this great service they're doing. In a weird way, they are sacrificing their own bodies and senses for their students, and sometimes the results of that can be even fatal. Whoa. Now, all that aside, being a big teacher is a huge responsibility, but at the same time, there is no greater level of service that a human being can do than to eventually become a big teacher. Now, for those of you familiar with this word, big teachers are what is called advanced initiates. What's an initiate? It's someone who is becoming a member of the next kingdom beyond human kingdom, which is like superhumans. Some people call them masters. Or whatever, the name isn't so important. It just means you're no longer a human being. You're something that's superhuman, and the definition between the two is a superhuman being has unified all of the chakras, all of the centers, the major chakras, in the three lower bodies, and to a certain level has unified the Buddhic body or intuitional body. And that part changes as time changes and as races develop. So the interesting thing about this is that in order to become superhuman, you have to become a super teacher, because since a big teacher is over 50% unified in their senses in a particular body, and oftentimes in all three of the lower bodies or more, they're on the road to becoming a member of the next kingdom where all of the senses of those bodies are unified together into one sense. There aren't three bodies even recognizable anymore. That's just one big, huge sense and body of being a co-creator with God. That's it. One huge, big sense. And then when you have that sense, you're no longer a human being. And the suffering and the feedback about sacrificing one's bodies and senses that happens from having students stops. So there's only this little slice of lifetimes, and actually it's a couple basically, in which a human being is in this position as a big teacher where they're so connected to their students they can really suffer terrible consequences by their students being kind of like not so great during part of the time that they're students. And the results could be that it could cost the teacher their senses and eventually possibly their life. Well, when you say costing someone their life, they just go on to live in another dimension of time and space. It isn't so terrible. Death, as we understand it, is a misnomer for most people. You're just losing the bodies and senses and the capability of co-creating with your creator in that dimension of time and space. That's the thing that really bothers big teachers, is that they're going to lose that ability. And if it's premature, then it's a problem. And it sometimes is, because, you know, you can't always predict what's going to happen in these situations. They are what are called advanced initiates, initiates who are more than halfway towards being their soul, and no functional soul. Functional means that you can be the soul in any dimension and time and space in which you serve. It's a fantastic thing. That's what human beings are striving for, although we don't realize it because we forget and become illusion when we come to live in places like the physical world right here. But it's a fantastic thing that they're becoming. And they actually voluntarily do this. It isn't like someone says, well, now you're at this stage, so you have to do it. I'm going to hit you over the head if you don't. No. They choose to do it because it's a step in that direction, a wonderful step. Well, at any rate, I hope that this has helped to clarify for most of you, if not all of you, what a spiritual teacher is, and the defining roles between these two kinds of spiritual teachers that we talked about today. And I hope that it'll give us all a little pause to think about what it means to be a teacher, how to find a teacher, and how to get the most out of our interaction with those members that we call teachers, and spiritual teachers particularly. Again, I want to remind you that a week from tomorrow, 6 o'clock Pacific time, it's daylight savings time. If you're in the Phoenix area, like where I am, it's actually going to be 6 o'clock as well, because we don't go on daylight savings time, even though we're on mountain standard time, we're on mountain time. And in other time zones, it'll be at different times as well. It's a week from tomorrow. A week from Sunday. I keep thinking today's Saturday. How did I lose my shit? a week from this Sunday, not from tomorrow. I'm so sorry. It's October 7th. Let me just give you the date. October 7th, and it's going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and then look at the other time zones. It's a two-hour show on pandemic flu. We're going to be co-sponsoring that show. Used from a product that we're sponsoring called ViroPel, which may help to cure avian flu. Very important product. If you want to know more about that, to go to ViroPel.org. ViroPel.org. Check it out there. Really. You're obviously savvy with the internet if you're listening to me. ViroPel.org. And you can order some of this product if you want to. If you don't have the money or you don't want to right now, tell other people about it at least, because it may be the only thing that can stop pandemic flu at this particular point, the avian flu. So please tune in, and I'll be interested in hearing what people think about the show in general. I think it's going to be a really great show. And until next week, this has been Niles McClower for Why Life Is.